The Gospel of Luke, chapter 15. Now while the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to Jesus, and the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. There was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the share of the property that will belong to me." So he divided his property between them. A few days later, the younger son gathered all he had and traveled to a distant country, and there he squandered his property in dissolute living. When he had spent everything, a severe famine took place throughout that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed the pigs. He would gladly have filled himself with the pods that the pigs were eating, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired hands have bread enough and to spare, but here I am dying of hunger. I will get up and go to my father, and I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands.'" So he set off and went to his father. But while he was still far off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran and put his arms around him and kissed him. And the son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son." But the father said to his slaves, "Quickly, bring out a robe, the best one, and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet, and get the fatted calf and kill it and let us eat and celebrate, for this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." And they began to celebrate. Now his elder son was in the field, and when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. He called one of the slaves and asked what was going on. He replied, "Your brother has come home, and your father has killed the fatted calf because he has got him back safe and sound." And then he became angry and refused to go in. His father came out and began to plead with him, but he answered his father, "Listen, for all these years I have been working like a slave for you, and I have never disobeyed your command. Yet you have never ever given me even a young goat, so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came back, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed him. You killed the fatted calf for him." Then the father said to him, "Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice because this brother of yours was dead and has come to life. He was lost and has been found." The Gospel of the Lord. To you, O Christ. Please be seated. Grace and peace to you all from our crucified Lord and Savior. Amen. Let us pray. Good and gracious Lord, may the words from my lips and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing to you as we go about our day today, this week, and always. In your name we pray, Jesus. Amen. There was a young man who, tired of school, life, and the injustice in this world, decided he would pull chocks and drive his vehicle as far as it could take him and make it on his own. A teenager still in high school, he took off early from school one day with the family vehicle, driving as far as he could through three states in a terrible snowstorm, until he got stopped by a flat tire and no money in his pockets. Not having told his parents he was leaving or where he was going, he got the courage to pick up the phone and called his father in hopes he would rescue him. Despite having caused his own desperate situation and putting his whole family in a bind and worry, he was relieved to hear his father on the other end, who, relieved and overjoyed to hear from his son, jumped in the truck to drive down the highway in the winter storm to get him. Like the young man in this story, the younger brother in today's parable pulls chocks and leaves his family taking his share of the inheritance as if his father were already dead, and drives until he cannot drive anymore. After he had squandered his inheritance and spent all his money, a famine hit the area, and he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed the pigs. He became so hungry he would have gladly filled himself with the pods that the pigs were eating, and no one gave him anything. Theologian Reverend Dr. Mark Allen Powell, a professor of mine at Trinity, explains in his book, What Do They Hear? Bridging the Gap Between Pulpit and Pew. He explains that it is our location that determines how we read this parable. In interviewing American, Russian, and Tanzanian seminary students on why the younger son is without food and feeding the pigs, the Americans responded, he sinfully squandered his inheritance. As he took his share of his father's inheritance up front and spent it self-indulgently and wastefully. The Russian students said, he did not value his family or community. As he set off to be independent and self-serving, rather than staying with his family and contributing to his community. The Tanzanian response was, no one gave him anything to eat. As this country is known to have periods of drought, which can have significant impacts on the production of crops, causing more people in rural areas to suffer from malnutrition and stunting than city residents. When we hear this parable, it is our location that is the lens through which we look at what we hear. The fact that I live in a country that values independence and self-sufficiency, have worked in a value system that told me to pull myself up by my bootstraps, have had the privilege of not having to worry about where my next meal comes from, and a family who had enough money to live in neighborhoods who had adequate school funds and little interpersonal conflict and violence, affording me access to higher education because I could concentrate on my studies, having had my basic needs met, and having earned a scholarship and having had the privilege of an economy that hired me out of college, it is easy for me to say, I side with the American seminary students' point of view, that the younger son is without food and is feeding the pigs because he sinfully squandered his inheritance. I don't stop to think that a famine affects everyone. Unless I view this parable through my faith lens, I do not think that it would be the family nor community responsibility to feed him. Without my faith that teaches me to love my neighbor as myself, I might be inclined to think, let him lie in the bed he made. Also, personally, being the oldest of two and having worked for everything I have, forgetting how people help me along the way, of course, it is easy for me to side with the elder brother, who is infuriated that the father is not only throwing a party for the son who left him, but is using my fatted calf to celebrate his return, as the remainder of the inheritance is mine. And I can see myself not wanting to come to the party for bitterness of the injustice of the father using my inheritance to celebrate my selfish brother's return. When we become aware of our location and how that location causes us to hear and interpret the text, we can look at the location of where, by whom, and to whom this parable is speaking. This will help us better hear what Jesus is doing in this parable. In this parable, Jesus was trying to teach God's unconditional love and transforming grace to the Pharisees and scribes who understood God's love to be conditional based on their willingness to follow and uphold God's law. The text prior tells us that the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So he asked them right before he tells us the story that we heard today, "Which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost.' Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one of them, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? When she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost.' Just so I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." Then Jesus goes on to tell the story of the prodigal son. But the prodigal son is a title that resonates with our location and not Jesus' location. It is a title given long after this story was written by the gospel writer of Luke. If we were to look through the lens of Jesus' location to title this story, a better title might be "The Two Lost Sons." Like the father who, anxiously awaiting the return of his son, rejoiced upon hearing from him and drove quickly to meet him, so too does the father in this parable, scanning the horizon for his son, rejoicingly run to greet him when he sees him, embracing and kissing him. And when his son confesses his sin, he gives him a robe, a ring, sandals, and a fatted calf, signifying the reconciliation he offers to the undeserving son. Rather than treating the younger son as less than because of his poor choices, as his son had hoped he would at the most be treated like the hired hands when he returned, his father shows him undeserving mercy. In the ancient world, slaves did not wear shoes, and yet he was given sandals and the transfer of a ring, which in those days signified a transfer of authority. The elder son in this parable is also lost, as he does not understand his father's love is not based on rule following and that his desire is to have both sons at the celebratory feast. The elder son in his righteous anger shouts, "Listen, for all these years I have been working like a slave for you and I have never disobeyed your command. Yet you have never given me even a goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours comes back who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him." And the father said to him, "Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice because this brother of yours was dead and has come to life. He was lost and has been found." Jesus is addressing the Pharisees and scribes who would rather keep themselves separated from others, who do not follow the law like them, and tells them not to worry. God the Father has already provided them with everything they need. And it is to be celebrated when those who are lost return to him. It's a feast that is for both them and those who fail to live up to the law. For us, sinners and saints, we are both the elder and the younger son. While we try to uphold the law, our sin is ever before us, and we fail to do so perfectly every day. Yet on account of our baptism, God is always with us. And whatever is God's is ours. Thanks be to God. When we were baptized, we were reconciled back to God. We were clothed with the righteousness of Christ, marked with the sign of the cross, and given the Holy Spirit to trust that when we pick up the phone and call our Father, he will rejoice, come meet us, and rescue us from our sin. Like the younger son, we too are being thrown a party where all are invited to the table. In baptism, Jesus transfers his reconciling authority to us. Forgive as you are forgiven. Whom do we need to forgive and welcome at God's table? Whom do we need to ask forgiveness from? May the Father who runs to us in baptism to forgive us and sets a feast before us to celebrate our return fill us with peace and the power to repent from our self-serving ways and our self-righteous ways. And may we share his reconciliation through his grace with others so that they might also live through him, giving him all the praise and glory. Amen.